When an algorithm decides if you qualify for medical treatment. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. Artificial intelligence has become a big part of medicine in reading images, formulating treatment plans, and developing new drugs. But a recent investigation by Stat News found some insurers are over-relying on an algorithm to make coverage decisions for seniors on Medicare Advantage. Those are plans approved by Medicare but offered by private insurers. Casey Ross co-reported the story and says the algorithm predicts how long a patient needs care.
Based on this projected length of stay by an algorithm, patients in the facility were then getting coverage denied in concert with that projected length of stay, regardless of their actual condition based on the assessment of their in-person providers. And so this algorithm, which was purchased by United Health Group in 2021, started getting applied to patients in nursing homes all over the country, and the providers started to become aware of it, but the patients had no idea and no ability to sort of question the algorithm or the decisions that were being made.
And in your story, you write about the case of Francis Walter. Can you tell me more about that?
Sure. Francis Walter was in her 80s when she suffered a fall and she broke her shoulder. She had her shoulder surgically repaired, and then she was transferred to a skilled nursing facility to recover. And the algorithm that United Health Group owns under its NaviHealth subsidiary was then run on Frances Walter. And the algorithm projected that she would take about 16.6 days to recover. But Frances Walter was a complicated patient. She had an allergy to pain medicines, and she took longer to recover. But the algorithm had suggested that date, and that's the date that payment for her care was cut off. And her family wasn't prepared for that. She lived alone, and so she had to leave the nursing facility. And what happens at that point for these families, and what happened for the Walter family, was they had to decide, do we pay out of pocket to keep her there, or what do we do? And so Frances Walter is then made to enroll in Medicaid, and she has to pay down her life savings to pay for extra care. She enrolls in Medicaid to continue to get the coverage. And then, you know, she files an appeal. And it was about a year and a half later that a judge finally found that, yes, in fact, the Walter family and her providers were right. She was entitled to more care, and she was eventually reimbursed. About 0.2% of the people that this happens to appeal and achieve that outcome.
How did these systems become so common in Medicare Advantage?
Well, I think the insurers in Medicare Advantage saw an opportunity to say, hey, you know, the math based on patients like you says this, and therefore we're going to make that the standard.
And this was sort of seen as a solution to a perceived problem of overbilling of these sort of long-term care facilities?
Right, because there's legitimately waste, right? Like, people go into these facilities. Facilities do have an incentive, you know, to keep them there longer. And so the insurers were finding a way to fight back. Patients were routinely staying in nursing homes for 20, 25, 30 days or more. And they're saying, no, you know, we've got the data. We've got the algorithm. They should be done with their care at such and such a date, and we're going to cut off payment in concert with that.
We'll be right back.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. We're back with Casey Ross from Stat News. Having treatment denied by insurance, despite it being recommended by a patient's care team, is unfortunately nothing new in this country. What's different about an algorithm doing it?
Yeah, it can really perpetuate bias and bad decision-making on a massive scale. When it's humans doing this on a sort of case-by-case basis, that's one thing. But when it's an algorithm that sits behind these physicians and it's based on data that's been fed into it, those data can be biased and the decision-making gets skewed. And it's not just, you know, 5 patients here or 10 patients there. It's 20 million. It happens repeatedly to people who have no idea that this is being done and have absolutely no recourse to fight back.
So are there any legal guardrails for using technology like this in this kind of context?
Well, when we started writing about it, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services was in the process of considering some new regulations, new rules, to require transparency in the use of these. So basically what Medicare ended up coming down and saying after our reporting was that you can't use your own proprietary algorithm to make these decisions. And there has to be, you know, a human in the loop who's looking at that and making an informed decision. It can't just be that your system relies on the algorithm and you're automating decisions out of that.
Have there been any moves forward to regulate this?
There have. The Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT, for instance, has recently passed a new rule to require transparency into algorithmic and AI tools that are used in the context of electronic health records. So that's happening. And then the CMS rule, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services rule, requiring, you know, similar transparency into the processes around algorithms used on the insurance sides. But there's really no enforcement mechanism.
You've also reported on how the Coalition for Health AI, which is an industry lobbying group, basically, is now working with federal regulators to kind of inform standards, in part because government doesn't necessarily have the technical expertise to keep up with this, right?
Yeah, there's a broad coalition, and there are a bunch of these groups that have sort of convened technology companies, health systems, government regulators as well to sort of, all right, well, come up with what the standards are going to be, you know, for testing these systems. The Coalition for Health AI is proposing to create a network of laboratories across the country that would sort of stress test algorithms prior to their deployment to define their performance characteristics and their accuracy so that providers and payers and others and the public can sort of assess that. So I think all of those are positive steps forward. All of that's beginning to percolate, but we don't yet know how those standards are going to come down and whether they're going to really protect consumers or they're going to more protect the interests of the makers of the algorithms and the hospitals using them.
That was Casey Ross at Stat News. The company NaviHealth, which makes the algorithm, told Ross the tool does not make coverage determinations. It's just used as a guide. We'll have the full investigation from Stat News, co-reported, we should mention, by Bob Herman. It's at our website, marketplacetech.org. Last year on the show, we spoke with NYU professor Meredith Broussard about her book, More Than a Glitch, and how AI and algorithmic decision-making in a number of high-stakes domains have the potential to worsen inequality. She did a deep dive into the role of AI in medicine after she herself was diagnosed with breast cancer, in part by an AI-assisted imaging system. And she warned against a kind of bias she said humans are often guilty of. She calls it techno-chauvinism, the impulse to see technological solutions as more objective or generally superior, even though AI often encodes and magnifies human biases or falls prey to errors a human mind might never make. Jesus Alvarado produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.